Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, we've got a big news item. I think it's kind of a revolutionary historical item potentially, and that is the decision on the part of the U.S. Department of Justice to go after alleged affirmative action programs in U.S. colleges in terms of admissions policies that allow people in based on racial characteristics. In fact, where applicants to get in may have inferior grades to someone else who might be white. Now, during the Sandra Day O'Connor years, in fact, it goes back about 15, 20 years, the Michigan case, maybe 25 years ago, a white female had sued because she had good grades and was rejected at the University of Michigan because they had a point system and they took students of color and race as a category in determining admissions, and she would lose to people who had lower grades and so forth, and sued. And she lost. Sandra Day O'Connor had upheld the policies, and Sandra Day O'Connor was a conservative from Arizona who had been appointed by Ronald Reagan, but she voted with the progressives on the court. Now, at that time, the government was against the plaintiff in this case. In that case, which was a Michigan student, or would-be Michigan student applicant. And they didn't do the discovery on the data, the computers, and so what was going on campus. This time, Jeff Sessions, who was the attorney general, would be the one who would have subpoena power and who would go after these college special programs, special admissions policies based on whatever racial categories they might have. Now, the Constitution says you can't discriminate on the basis of race as the Constitution has been amended. And you say, well, but Mitch, what about these legacy admissions, the grandsons of all these rich business people, and they give money to the university, so they have the grandson in. Yeah. That's a quota system, and that happens. Dan Quayle, a former vice president, had a C average at DePauw and got into the IU Law School with a C average when there was a minimum requirement of B average. But his grandfather was Eugene Pulliam, the publisher of the Indianapolis Star and the Indianapolis News. But there is no constitutional prohibition against legacy admissions. It's not fair, I know. But it does say you can't discriminate on the basis of race. So Ward Connolly and conservatives over the years, in his case, an African-American who's against affirmative action because he says it brands the recipient as one who's a token, even though it may not be fair. But in many cases, that's perception. He said, don't need to do that because it undermines the integrity of the person of color who does, in fact, achieve the academic performance. Now, you have Asian students who are losing on this because there were so many Asian, there were such a high percentage of Asian students who were getting admitted in the University of California at Berkeley that they curbed the number of Asians who could get in, and they had to kind of level it out. And so there were Asian students who would have had a grievance under the constitutional standard that the government can't discriminate on the basis of race, especially a public institution. And if you're receiving federal money, I suppose you could argue at a private school that's totally private. Maybe Hillsdale College could make the case that they, well, even Hillsdale College, I don't know how they could make that case. But so that could be a very interesting and searing and incendiary debate. The one thing I would say about it, and I used to listen to Al McGuire, the former basketball announcer, well, these kids from the city, from the ghetto, he would say, they don't have all the good tutors. They don't have the good schools. Well, there's no question that life isn't fair, and it's hard for me to say that as a white guy. But I would just say this. Do we all have a right to get into University of Wisconsin or University of Alabama or Harvard, if we don't have the grades and we can't do college work, or should we accept the fact that if we can't do college work at the highest level in our state or in maybe a bank of states, that we should just go to a UW La Crosse or UW Parkside or UW Eau Claire or Madison College? Do we have a right to get into the University of Wisconsin? I mean, my daughter had a 3.9 and she got in, but she has friends who had like a 3.75 who didn't get in. And are we also going to say that if you're black or brown or Asian, that somehow you can't get a 3.9?
Right, yeah.
What gives? 210-1667, 210-1667. It's hard to say what would happen. Justice Kennedy could be the swing vote in this if it gets to the Supreme Court. I would say, given his vote on gay marriage, that I would expect maybe Justice Kennedy to uphold current affirmative action policies. But it is bothersome. If you do the work, if you're an Asian student applicant in California, or if you're a white applicant, in the case of the Michigan's white female, you do the work and you can't get in because you're the wrong color. Oh, Midge, we had a quota for several hundred years. Only white men could apply. Well, I know we did. That was bad. So we're going to remedy a history of racial discrimination based on sex and based on race by doing it again. Is that what? I mean, really, that's what you're saying. We have to remedy past racial discrimination or gender discrimination by doing it again to a smaller scale. There's something about that that's not good. I mean, if you're getting a 2.75 and you get in because you're in a special program and you can't, and you'll graduate, and if you can tie a commensurate line on terms of non-graduation with those who get in under these special programs, and you can make the case, then you would have a hard time, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And we're not talking about people who have a 3.6. Somebody I know of color who got into the University of Wisconsin and then was forced to take the same tests and take the same courses and held the standard, same standards as anybody else. Somebody who might have been white who had a higher GPA, same standards, same expectations. We're not talking about that. We're talking about programs for lower grades.
Yeah.
Different categories, different programs. That's going to be... Oh, now we have a caller. You know, let's face it. If you go to Harvard, you're better off. It's going to be impressive. You go to Princeton. Maybe it's more impressive, I'm sure it is, to graduate from the University of Wisconsin 4 years than, say, even going to Wisconsin 2 years after going to Madison College 2 years. It depends on what job you're trying to get. I know a successful artistic designer who's redesigned major facilities and landmark places around the country in terms of their redesign, who went from Wisconsin to Madison College. He went the other way. It depends on where you are. My daughter graduated from the University of Wisconsin. My son did not. My son was kind of a kid who didn't really enjoy that. But he works at a company where he's up for a promotion right now, and he says nobody's ever asked him where he went to college. And if he told somebody, I went to Vanderbilt, they'd say, oh, great. What?
Steve.
Steve again. Hello, Steve. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Mitch. I'll turn you off here.
Oh.
There is a college professor in California that is suggesting that we need to abolish algebra from their curriculum in schools because it's racist. Now, this is a complete dumbing down.
Algebra?
Of the educational system. Algebra, yes.
Algebra is racist?
Well, yes. Now, from my understanding, Mitch, the only thing that is totally non-subjective is math. 2 + 2 is always 4. I don't care if you're a liberal or a conservative.
I've had people argue that it isn't unless you teach it in a PC way. Remember Juan Jose Carlos or whatever his name was on the Madison School Board a few years back? Was it Juan Jose Carlos? I want to know. Anyway, he said, well, maybe you should talk about it in terms of Montezuma counting coconuts. He wanted to put a racial component in math, but go ahead.
Well, that's fine, and there probably are some racial overtones in some of how it's taught, but the subject itself, math, is very non-subjective. There's a push in our college campuses toward more and more social justice, which is highly
in
subjective.
Math? How do you?
Math.
Yeah.
Math is not social justice.
Oh,
it's
so you can't? I see.
So it's absolute truth.
I see. So we're just math is your example of something that cannot be tainted. By
exactly. I mean, it can be in how you present it, but the subject itself is pure.
I see what you're saying.
And we're saying that, well, because less blacks are proficient at math than whites, which I'm assuming that's why he's calling it racist, it's racist. That does not make it racist. That means we have a problem in our education system educating blacks, which we need to fix.
Well, yes, we have a big achievement gap, and you can talk about all the socioeconomic underpinnings, but of course, I'm on board with the solution, and we're going to hear from John Roach here shortly about the Madison Prep model, which we'll get to in light of this recent shooting. But I agree with you. We got to do something different. But in terms of discriminating on the basis of race, you can't do that if you're going to say, well, we got to make an exception because this person was less privileged. The Constitution doesn't let you do that. Now,
exactly.
You know, and we're dancing around, and to say that you have to get to the University of Wisconsin or you have to go to Harvard because you don't want to go to Parkside or La Crosse or Bunker Hill College in Boston because that wouldn't be fair is to say that we're launching an assault on logic, in my mind.
Exactly. So there's no benefit to going to a good school if the good school is going to dumb down.
Well, if you can't do the college work, if you go into Harvard or you go to Wisconsin, you can't do college work and you don't finish because you clearly weren't qualified and you got in because of a special program to make it more fair, you haven't been helped, have you, Steve? Unless you can say, well,
no.
You've actually been
hurt.
I went to Wisconsin.
You've actually been harmed. Right, I did go to Wisconsin, okay? It's a major university. It's very challenging. To let people into Wisconsin that can't do Wisconsin-level work is a disservice to them, not to society.
To the student, yeah.
And I'm all for educating everyone as much
as possible. But I understand, too, that we had a lot of years where you couldn't get the job unless you were a white man, and then you couldn't get the job unless you're white. I understand the history. But to say we're going to remedy that in perpetuity by duplicating it in reverse seems to be, again, inconsistent. Now, I would say this. If you can't get into Wisconsin or Harvard based on your qualifications, I would want to make damn sure you get into Madison College or Bunker Hill or UW Parkside or UW Eau Claire. Isn't that fair to say? I mean, you should make every effort to get to make room.
Yes, you should have the opportunity to get in, but you shouldn't have the opportunity to succeed or graduate, or I shouldn't say the right to succeed or graduate. You graduate based on
merit,
performance.
I agree totally. Well, but I don't think you'd have much of an argument from those who get admitted that they wouldn't have to face the same standards once admitted. I mean, that pretty much I think is held by a majority of people.
Well, majority of people, correct. But typically, the liberals that are in charge of a lot of these universities are not majority of people. And to have somebody suggest that we need to eliminate algebra as a requirement because not everybody can pass it
is insane, but have algebra as
a requirement.
There was a trustee at Half Moon Bay once that said we should get rid of homework in K-12, and I remember doing a news story on it. And I said, why is this a news story? It's one hippie in Half Moon Bay, and the guy goes, because it's a liberal idea. You know, this guy was a conservative, so we did a news story on it based on what some guy in Half Moon Bay wanted to do. But in this case, this guy's nuts. And to say that he speaks for, you know, every campus, every school, may be a stretch. Because do you think most people, most progressives, I'll say that, in administrative positions in, let's even say liberal arts colleges, agree with this guy that algebra is racist?
Mitch, to me it doesn't matter if they agree with it or not, but it's being entertained as a possibility is the problem. We heard...
Let me entertain you. What? Yeah.
Well, you heard in the 80s and 90s that abortion was okay because the fetus was not a person, a human being. And as we've learned more and more, it has separate DNA. It actually is not part of a woman's body. That has changed. Liberals used to say, well, if it was a human, we would not allow that to be killed. Now you actually have people promoting the death of babies.
How did we get from affirmative action to abortion, Steve? I'm just curious.
We're just moving progressively, okay? These people start with people saying something and it moves.
I wasn't talking about abortion. I would say that there are two bodies, biologically. I agree with that, and I would have a hard time. You know, I'm not going to carry one, although I may look that way. But no, but I don't want to change the subject, and you're not going to win if you open that door, because people don't view it as a conscious, and I don't agree with them. I think it's a growing biological being. We're not talking about abortion. I don't think we're changing the subject.
We're talking about gradualism, Mitch.
Gradualism, and, yeah.
And gradualism.
All right.
Starts by somebody.
Well, by God, if you get somebody pregnant, Steve, I hope you take care of the kid. That's all I'm saying.
I hope your baby is healthy, man.
I had two. I never sanctioned an abortion, I promise. Scout's honor.
Well, happy pregnancy, sir.
Don't say that. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rayl.
When I started Revere Trails out in Windsor, I asked for Tim's advice. I'm absolutely amazed at how much he knows about the development of real estate and the marketing part than other realtors.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rayl of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
He's got a phenomenal knowledge of the product and what it takes to get the product to market.
Tim Rayl, 698-7653.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
It seems like we're reading about a fatal Madison shooting every day or the other day. We had another one in the last 24 hours or so at a convenience store, I believe on the west side, Todd Drive area. John Roach joins me, who was just on this amazing show on the Big Ten 70 with the likes of
Howard Moore, UW basketball coach assistant, and Kaleem Kerr, One City Preschools, and even Rashard Griffith, former Badger star, as Howard was into the Chicago shootings, and then his uncle was killed in a crossfire, and they talked about it here. Hello, John.
Hey, Mitch, how are you?
I'm good, and you were eloquent because you were on with Kaleem on the Urban League, and then you worked on his Madison Prep project.
Correct,
and
yeah.
Urged a disruption in the educational system to try to address some needs here. But when we get to the point of shooting others, is it beyond the point? Or, I mean, is it too late for those individuals, or your thoughts there?
Well, you've heard me say this before, but I think we need disruptive change. There are a lot of people working on this. They're working on it hard. They're well-intentioned. Some of them are funded. But it feels incrementalist to me, and that, you know, my argument has been Madison is a smaller community. I think we can really get on top of this if we focus. If you look at the resources of the university, they always talk about the Wisconsin idea. Well, this would be a great way for them to focus their efforts on a growing Wisconsin problem. You have a progressive population, but honestly, I feel like we really haven't committed to solve these issues. I know that there's it's seen as an influx of Chicago, Milwaukee influences, and to a certain extent that's true. But also, who wouldn't applaud a mother who's trying to get her kids out of Milwaukee or Chicago? But it comes with attendant problems. But it's been my feeling that you need disruptive change. I thought Madison Prep was an attempt at that, because it was predicated on getting young African-American men out of the neighborhood, longer school days, a longer school year, certain mandatory classes, and a college prep track, so we could start getting young African-American men in these communities who are going to college and have status because of that, instead of status for being a gangbanger or whatever. Right now, the only way you can get elevated status in that community, it seems, you know, legally, not the only way, but, you know, one of the rare ways you can do it is by being a, you know, Division I athlete. So we have to have other recourses to get, these young African-American men, Latino as well, but, kids in poverty. And, Mitch, we have a new president, and one of the reasons we have him is white America in the Rust Belt is now feeling that same despair. That opioid crisis is white America's answer to the crack crisis. These are drugs of despair. I just don't know if we have, I don't pretend to have the answers, but I think we need more disruptive change.
But it's close to home in so many ways, John, because you are not poor. I mean, you were not rich as a kid, obviously, but didn't you gas up at the 7-Eleven on the West Beltline?
I get my gas where the shooting occurred. And I've heard that the young man who was killed was married to a graduate from a Madison high school, that this wasn't some transient, group coming in.
Well, the chief calls it a brutal assassination.
Mitch, you know this better than anyone. Madison is a small town. It's 1, 2, 3 degrees of separation. Yeah. And that's actually could be a blessing in this instance, if we come up with some more innovative ideas, and white Madison commits as well as black Madison, and both, I would argue, both communities have to start looking at doing things differently.
Well, okay, yes, and we could start by shuffling the deck in terms of high school models. You'd fought for Madison Prep. It was voted down by white progressives on the Madison School Board, who didn't want to rock the boat because of union considerations and the rest.
Well, and also, right when we got it going, Act 10 dropped. And all of a sudden, everything was cast in a different light.
Yeah,
and it's really unfortunate. It was unfortunate timing and, frankly, unfortunate characterization of the intent of Madison Prep.
But I do
And I, honestly, the stuff that was said about Madison Prep or what our agenda was really way off.
Oh, sure.
Base.
Yeah. You've told me some of the things off the, you can't even say on the air, but I will say this. I do believe there is a belief, and white progressives, I've talked to them, they get their backs up
And they don't want to believe that their 1960s idealism is wrong about serving underprivileged kids, that they are the Billy Jacks or the Robert Kennedys of their day, and they want a rainbow coalition, and they think they can be the best for all. And if you say no,
Mitch,
go ahead.
Mitch, I'm not going to say that the problem was progressives in Madison. I would argue that, and there may be a kind
you
of
you weren't voted down by conservatives, John.
Right. I know. Well, they weren't necessarily progressives. I would argue that they were staunch union advocates, and I don't necessarily think that's always the same thing. But here's my point. Madison is a city of big bureaucracies, and the status quo is important to bureaucracies. They move very slowly, be it the university, the state government, and the attendant bureaucracies, the county and the city. You know, we're ground zero for a ton of different bureaucracies, and bureaucracies love themselves some status quo, and they like to say they're going to solve problems, but their ability to do disruptive change isn't very good. Okay?
No.
But the flip side, and then they wonder why we have problems. The truth is, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to have the same problems. And I would argue, I know that the school districts are well-intentioned and the police department are well-intentioned and the faith community of the black community is well-intentioned, but I would argue they're all incrementalist ways of dealing with this issue. And I just keep saying disruptive change, some truly different educational models, some truly different policing models. And maybe, you know, and I don't pretend to know enough about the job community. A lot of the jobs for, as Dave Cheslevich once asked me, where do you work in Madison if you don't have a college degree?
Yeah, really?
Those jobs have left. Oscar Mayer was a place. That's gone. Gisholt was. That's gone. Madison is pretty much a white-collar town for good jobs. You can get jobs in the service industry. But I don't think you can necessarily raise a family and buy a house with the wages they offer.
No.
With Oscar Mayer, you could.
It's hard enough with a college degree from a private.
Madison is testimony to that.
Yeah. Well, John.
You could raise a family, build a house, and send your kids to college. That was a tremendous legacy of Oscar Mayer.
Sure. Well, you have a rare ability to see these problems honestly, but you don't couch it in the vernacular of a politician, which is kind of refreshing, because
Mitch, I'm not looking to demonize anyone, truthfully, but I have been exposed to different communities. I lived in, I'm a townie, I'm a townie, so I've seen the entire evolution of this thing. I lived and worked in Chicago in big media. I worked for Ebony Jet, so I was the only white guy in the room for 3 years, which is a tremendous experience. Every white person should be in a room where people are talking about you like you're not there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I understand.
Which black people experience all the time. And then my experience with the Urban League and Madison Prep. I just, the way that people went after that in some ways was so, not true as to how certainly I was involved and others, some of the things they said was their agenda never came up ever in any meetings or discussions. It was surprising to me that people saw it that way, honestly. And we were clustered with Walker, which we were doing this way before Walker,
Well, when Gleam Kerr says, you're my brother by another mother, you did bond well with the advocates.
You know what, though? Gleam and I are Madison guys.
Yeah.
We grew up in the same town.
Well,
he knows my cousins. That counts for something. I think that gives Kaleem tremendous credibility in discussing this. And his new initiative, he's quietly gone about trying to do something new with preschool because a lot of African-American kids come into the school system with a deficit, vocabulary deficit, or home lives already in distress. And, he's still plugging away, and he's still trying to affect a positive change, and I really respect him for that. You know, he's a good dad, good husband.
Oh,
he's everything you'd want for a friend, that's for sure.
And I wouldn't mess with Kaleem in a classroom because he's told me stories about how he's walked in on a few classes and suddenly they sat at attention, put it that way.
He's an OBS guy.
Yeah. Well, John Roach, thanks for giving me 10 minutes. You've been working hard on the radio all day, but keep up the good work.
I didn't know I was going to be on Mike's show. And by the way, Mitch, God bless Mike Heller for doing that show. And he said blatantly, I know some people won't like this. Well, exercise your free will and turn on another channel. Yeah. But anyone who's a sports fan cannot distance themselves from the struggles of the black community, which is also our struggle, white guys, you know?
I agree.
And it's like, oh, yeah, we'll just stick to sports. It's like, you know, dude, he said, go somewhere else, which I think is tremendously courageous.
There's no crazy glue in the knob, John, as we both know.
But Mitch, it's you and Mike are both good because you avoid the cliche, and there's an honesty and authenticity there that's what distinguishes you guys from others.
Oh, kiss, kiss. We appreciate that, John.
Well, and you know, I mean, Mike can't do any Frank Sinatra.
Well, I won't. I don't try to imitate. I'm just doing a tribute.
No, I know that. Yeah. I've howled at the moon with you.
Well, and that can be a scary image, but you're a pure Irish tenor. We should tell the audience.
Yeah, only after two beers, Mitch.
You're right there with John Raitt singing Danny Boy. Oh, thank you.
All right.
John Roach, we thank you so much, and we'll talk soon. All right, take care.
Keep plugging away.
All right, appreciate it. Now, we'll come back. Words and phrases is just driving us. I hear this all the time when they say immigrants. They want to round up immigrants. It drives me nuts. We'll come back at the Mid-Tank Show on MedicineTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the Major League record for the longest hitting streak in 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com. BucksPizzaMadison.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing.
They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hank Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hank Show.
All right, words and phrases, and this drives me nuts. You can call me on this. I know you have pet peeves, too. 210-1667, 210-1667. I'm sent this headline, and on CNN, about a pregnant woman is a man, but the... Okay, here we go. A man has given birth to a baby, it said here. And the writer goes on to say, well, it can't be a man that gave birth, but it was a trans man who birthed the child as a woman. And, of course, she's still... biologically, originally a woman, so she could give birth. But a man giving birth, I mean, can a man give birth? A man, you can't really say a trans man, but I mean, if you just say a man has given birth to a baby, it's just not accurate. It just bothers. I mean, I'm not trying to make any kind of judgment. I've got transgender callers, and I love my transgender callers and audience members, but don't tell me a man has given birth to a baby.
That's not science.
Isn't that Twilight Zone stuff?
Yeah. There's science involved there.
There's some science here. Now, say it. Say a trans man. Why'd you say a man? Now, here's another thing that bothers me. You have people, and I see it on Amazon. So the show that comes on after Morning Joe, the woman, I can't think of her name. And she's got a big attitude. She's progressive. I understand. That's fine. But immigrants, they're stopping immigrants. They're cracking down on immigrants. They're raiding. ICE is raiding immigrants. Are they really immigrants? Your father, your grandfather, or grandmother, immigrants? Are they rounding up immigrants? Or are they rounding up undocumented? At least say something. Undocumented? You could say illegal immigrant, or you could say legally. You could say illegal alien. I don't use that term. I think it's kind of harsh. Because I'm kind of a softy, but we're not rounding up immigrants. I mean, my great-grandfather was an immigrant. I mean, come on. But they just say immigrant. You're rounding up immigrants. You're going to deport immigrants. Why are you? You're not deporting immigrants, every immigrant, every legal immigrant. We have a lot of immigrants that are legal. Is it, you know what I'm saying here?
If your name doesn't start with something like that.
Say you're going to deport undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants in the sense that they came here illegally, but don't say immigrants. You are cracking down on immigrants. It just drives me insane. Because that's to say that somebody's here who took all the tests and had to wait and came on the boat, and I mean, I've known people who have had to go through all this hell to become citizens, and they had to drive to Louisville every 2 weeks for 3 years to take a test and report into some immigration official, drive 5 hours one way for 3 years. A woman I used to work with, a producer from East Africa, who was a great producer, and she had to do that. She's an immigrant. We're not cracking down on her, are we?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, we crack down too much by the stupid rules against her, on her. I've got another friend who deals with a Russian trio, musical trio, and they've gone through hell. And they've had people say, well, they're in the country too much. And just have to fight the bureaucracy to come and, I mean, study or do musical things. I mean, just give me a break. But I mean, to say, well, they're cracking down, and we... How can you get that past the copy? I mean, it isn't true. I mean, legal immigrants, people who have achieved citizenship or have green cards or whatever, or visas, where they are here visiting or whatever the case, legally, those people are not being rounded up. Now show me your papers. Can I see your papers, please? I mean, give me a break. And, you know, you can argue all you want about what to do about it. You know, and I've said for years that if you want your hamburger to be at the sports pub to be $11.95 instead of $9.95, you'll start cracking down and having businesses. Oh, there's Tom Puckin. Well, I can't talk to you now, Tom. George, give me a break. Am I onto something here, George?
Oh, you're totally onto it, as usual, Mitch. I mean, this is just one more example. Everything that you've talked about is exactly the truth. And that's why I quit watching all of the news channels except for Fox, because they don't just give nouns and verbs. They put adverbs and adjectives on everything, whether they need to or not. I mean, so that they can politicize their side and make their side look good. I mean, it's one more example. I feel bad for your kids and grandkids and mine growing up in this world where they have to battle through all this crap of just give the news. Just give the facts, ma'am. Oh, I'm dragnet. You know, I'm Columbo. Just the facts.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because now, Mitch, we all...
Right, and losing your signal, George. But so the first...
Oh, sorry. So the, I'm sure George would agree with the first one, that a man gave birth. A man didn't give birth. You know, and maybe I'm being too technical, but, I mean, give me a break. And other things that drive me nuts. I mean, this thing with Seth Rich, I won't dwell on this anymore. But at least say that Julian Assange put out a $20,000 reward for his killer, the DNC analyst who was shot in July of last year, who was looking into voting in California and is suspected by some to have been the aid leaker to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. And it's been called, the press, they're calling it a botched burglary. They don't know. There's been no finding. He didn't take his wallet and take his phone or his watch. Don't call it a botched burglary. You don't know that. Police don't know that either. It drives me nuts. Go ahead, George.
Well, yeah, sorry my signal fell. But I loved when you had Sly on in your first segment and you were trying to explain this to him. And you're exactly right. You've been on this story since day one, and now they're coming out about it. And, of course, the libs like Sly don't want to talk about it. It's because it makes them look bad, you know? So he said, I have no interest in that conspiracy theory, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to have a conspiracy guy on again? I loved him, Mitch, by the way.
Well, I did too, but he goes into some conspiracies I don't do, and he's got so many of them. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah, but I'm going home tonight to watch JFK, Oliver Stone's JFK.
Oh, the movie, yeah. Well.
Oh, I love that. Do you believe that's the way it came down when Johnson said, you get me that, I'll get you your damn war. Remember to the... Joint Chiefs.
Well, I could talk for hours about it, George. You know, I think it's an inside job also. Yeah.
My wife's calling me.
All right. Goodbye, George. Tell your wife you love her.
I will.
Tom Pockin, when we come back, we're going to call him. They're going to talk about tax reform. Taxes. I know that sounds boring, but there's a way to make it right in a moment. The Mitch Hank Show at MadisonTalks.com.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
The all-new Mitch Hank Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. Mitch Hank for Atterbury Cameron Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How often do you take a case all the way to a jury trial?
What we do that's different from some firms is, when necessary, we take the case to trial. It's the ability to do that and a track record of doing that that gives you the leverage to get a fair settlement for the vast majority of your clients. There are lawyers out there who actually will not take them to trial. And it doesn't take the insurance industry, of course, very long to figure that out. So their leverage is minimal when trying to negotiate a settlement on the case. Whereas the lawyers at Atterbury, Cameron, Haig have all demonstrated an ability to take cases to trial. It's that track record that provides the leverage to get a fair settlement so that we don't have to take the cases to trial.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
He is the smartest guy I know on taxes and tax reform, as the members of Congress are on the brink of taking up a tax reform initiative, we're told. Tom Pockin, formerly of the Texas Workforce Commission, the author of the book Bringing America Home. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi, and we're on short tether tonight, but I want to say that you have got the great idea about how to do this in a way that provides for growth and gets Democrats and Republicans nodding. I hope you have an audience with General Kelly, by the way, but or somebody in the White House.
I don't.
Well, maybe make a phone call. I mean, you wouldn't have the language as colorful as Anthony Scaramucci, probably, but hey, you've got some good ideas. But I'll give you time here to unveil the way to go about changing the tax system in a way people can understand at home and makes all the sense in the world. Go ahead.
Well, right now we don't have a level playing field in terms of our trading competitors. Almost all of them have a border-adjusted consumption tax on the average 17 to 18%. So that means every time we ship goods made from the U.S. into a foreign country, we're taxed at a 17% rate. It's 17% higher our goods. At the same time, a country like Germany can ship cars into the U.S., and there is no border-adjusted consumption tax here, and they get a tax credit for their exports. And the problem is that I'm afraid that any effort to really level the playing field is diminished by the influence of people like Gary Cohen, who came from Goldman Sachs and who's a Wall Street guy, and other people in the Trump administration, and the opposition of big business and people who would be hurt by the proposed border-adjusted consumption tax. So I'm not optimistic that it's going to get done this year.
Well, do you have some links, Tom, with the White House staff or key members of Congress? I know you've talked.
Well, I know quite. Kevin Brady, I think, is very interested in this idea, and he is pushing it in the on the House side. In the Senate, there's some resistance to it. The problem is that the Trump administration is in such chaos. I think Steve Bannon on the White House staff understands this.
Yeah, he would.
But there's so much infighting going on that it's hard to get something done.
Well, that goes without saying. But, if you had an audience with the right people and they had Trump's ear, I mean, Trump, he doesn't have a reason to oppose this kind of thing. He doesn't even have an ideological underpinning. The guy is for what works. And what might win?
Yeah, no, I think Trump instinctively is in favor of something that brings jobs home to America. And this is about the only thing that you can do tax-wise to bring jobs home to America. You can eliminate the corporate income tax, but you got to replace it with something else. You've got to make up that revenue loss. And the way to do it is with a border-adjusted consumption tax. An 8% border-adjusted consumption tax could replace the 30-35% corporate income tax. And it's revenue neutral. And that's what the argument they're not making in the administration. And I think that, all of the lobbying groups, all of the foreign countries, of course, would be, are terribly opposed to this because they get a free ride of bringing all their goods into the U.S. And so there's an enormous lobbying pressure. The people are for it if they understand it, and I think Congress would vote for it. And I think we can get a lot of Democrats behind this if we go about it the right way. But again, it is so chaotic up there right now, I don't know that anything gets done.
I tell you what, I have Roger Stone on the show quite a bit. I'm going to talk to him and tell him he should talk to you. At this point, I'm going to do
it. I know Roger very well.
Well, you know, I would give him a call.
Well, have him call me. I mean, I know Roger. He knows my number, and we can talk. I think this is something that Trump needs to support, and I think I think Bannon would support it in principle, but you've got Gary Cohen sitting over there from Goldman Sachs as the head of the economic advisors, and he's going to oppose it very subtly in a very sophisticated way, but he's going to kill it.
He's a Democrat, obviously, but so Bannon may have tendencies to that way also. I don't know. All I'm saying is you got a good idea. It's the only idea I've heard that makes any sense. And for those progressives in our audience who think it's regressive, there's nothing more regressive than 99 weeks of unemployment. Is that fair to say, Tom?
It's great for American workers. We've lost good-paying manufacturing jobs. We're replacing them with low-pay service jobs. It's no solution to force up the minimum wage for service jobs. It's a real solution to bring manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. We have a real advantage on manufacturing and energy costs, and all we have to do is fix the tax system, and manufacturing in the U.S. will be gangbusters again.
Well, I'm going to work on it. In fact, I'm going to work on having Paul Ryan on again where I don't stand him up on the line this time.
Paul originally supported this, and I think he liked the idea. He advocated the idea, but he never fought for it. Kevin Brady on the House Ways and Means Committee, I've talked to Kevin about this. He's very supportive. But we need Trump to make the case, and that's really the holdup now. And I think instinctively, this is something that Trump would like.
I agree. Tommy Thompson would like it, too, and he's got –
Trump would take his phone call also. So we're going to work on it. I'm tired of sitting around, Tom. We'll see if we can make it happen. All right.
All right, Mitch.
TomPaken.com. We thank you so much.
Good to be
with
you.
Take care. That's P-A-U-K-E-N, Paken. Guy's smart. He's got a great idea in my mind. Bring all this money in, all these jobs back. Why not just go with the smart people? We're down to the end here. I'm just rambling on. Thanks for listening. We're making some announcements here soon about our new look at Madison Talk Show, where we might change our name too, as our goal is to become accessible 24/7 to our listeners, our followers, with very important content in maybe four or five different subject areas. So whatever your thing is, you'll be able to click on, and we'll rotate the topics weekly and every other day or so forth, or daily. And if it's politics, if it's music, if it's social topics, social controversies, whatever the case, even comedians, whatever the niche is, we're going to have it up there. So if that's your niche, you can just click onto it. Maybe it's a sports deal. Maybe it's leaders of our society, leaders' lives, whatever the case. We are going to build this to the point where we attract users based on 24/7 content that's compelling 24/7. That's the goal. Stay tuned for more information in that regard, because not everybody can be there between 5 and 7 on Wednesday, or between 8 and 11 a.m. Monday through Friday, whatever the case. Our goal is to move toward a 24/7 content-driven operation. So we thank you. We thank Bob Keller for the space here on West Washington Avenue and all his places to check out: Tuscan Place, Washington Court, Whitcomb Square. Mike Brockevelt, we thank him for being an engineer, and also Bob Keller coming up. The wide world of radio, all the great radio shows from yesteryear, 30s and 40s, all the greats: Bob Hope, Sinatra, Al Jolson, Burns and Allen, Jack Benny, you name it, they're all there. Till then, folks, have a great Wednesday night. The Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.